This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is How to Triumph Over Terror. We're in a series of messages from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The title of our series is Positioned for Blessing, and that comes from verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, had come under attack. A great army of foreigners was coming against the nation. And they came and told Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat called the people to prayer before God. And as they bowed before God, God answered them and told them this in verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat and Judah were faced with terrifying circumstances. And yet, in the midst of the terrifying circumstances, when they turned to God, God let them know they didn't have to fight the battle. But the point that we've picked up on in verse 17 is this. It says, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Understand, God wants to fight our battles for us. Amen? God desires, God intends to fight the battles for his children that need to be fought. There is no circumstance that will come into your life that God has not already purposed to take you through victoriously. But you got to be in position. You got to be in position. You got to position yourself in the right place. If you are not rightly positioned, you will not win the victory. You all know that I was a famous football player. Well, you all know that I played football in high school. All right. And I played on the offensive line. And the thing that I found out is this. I had to be in position to make my block. Amen? If I was not in proper position to make my block, I would miss the man. He would wipe out the ball carrier. And guess what? We would lose the game. Understand, God wants you to win. But if you're not in good position, if you're not in the right position, God will not be able to fight the battle for you. Last week, we learned that fear is a necessary emotion given to us by God for a necessary purpose. It is natural. It is something that we as Christians will have to deal with. But the bottom line is that Christians are never to be controlled by fear. Amen? We see today Jehoshaphat facing terror coming at him. I just wonder how many of us have ever faced a situation that made us feel terrified of what the outcome might be. Any of us ever been there? Amen. Do you know that even as Christians, we're going to face some of those situations in life? We're going to face some situations where when we see that circumstance coming at us, it's going to cause a feeling of fear to rise up in us. But as Christians, what do we know? God has given us fear for a purpose, but that purpose is never that fear would master us and control us. Fear is to be our servant and not our master. Amen? And so we found out last time that we need to pass our fears onto God. P-A-S-S, pass our fears onto God. P-A, pay attention. When circumstances are happening in your life that are threatening to you, you do need to pay attention. You cannot be an ostrich, put your head in the sand and just say it's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to work out. No, you need to pay attention and deal with it. God told the people of Judah, I have given you the land. I will fight this battle for you. All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But then he also told them, go out and meet them. You got to go where the problem is, and then you're going to have to deal with the problem, and I will give you the victory. But if you never deal with the issue, guess what? God can't give you victory over it. If you are never on the battle line, how can you win the battle? You've got to be in position to win the victory. Here's the thing that we need to understand about fear. The fuel of fear is falsified fact. The fuel of fear is falsified fact. Think about it for a moment. Anybody here know the devil is a liar? Amen. Devil is a liar, amen? And the thing that he wants you to do is to operate in fear, because he knows that if you are operating on a fear basis, you will run instead of stand. Amen? But catch how the devil operates. The devil is not only a liar, he's a clever liar. What's the best way to tell a lie? Tell mostly the truth and just put a little twist in it. Isn't that right? See, the devil is not a fool. He's stupid. Anybody that goes against God's got to be stupid. Isn't that right? But he's not a fool. He's learned some things over all these centuries. He's learned how to lie very well. And so what he will do is he will point to something that is true and then just give it a little twist. In other words, he will point to the terrifying circumstances of your life and say, see it? Isn't that a fact? Isn't that thing coming at you? Didn't the doctor tell you that they got to take you in the hospital and they don't know if they can deal with your situation? That's a fact. You ought to be terrified about that. Well, guess what? It may be a fact, but we overcome terror by the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, there are facts and then there is truth. And just because something is a fact does not mean that it represents truth. How many of you have more than $100 in your pocket right now? Okay, I don't see any hands here. That's because you put it all in the offering, amen? Isn't that right? All right. How many of you, now don't anybody raise your hand on this. How many poor people do we have here today? Let me tell you something. I do not have $100 in my pocket right now. All right? But you know what? I am not poor. Amen? It is a fact. I don't have $100 in my pocket. But guess what? My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And that's the truth. Amen? See, the fact is, I may not have money right now, but the truth is, all of my needs are supplied because I've got a father who loves me and he's got everything in his hands. Do you see? You can have facts, but facts do not necessarily tell you the truth. And the way the devil loves to operate is by falsified fact. If you only look at the facts of your situation, the devil will use those facts to raise up fear and terror in your heart. But we overcome terror by the truth. Hallelujah. Today, we want to talk about how we deal with those kinds of situations when they come into our lives. We saw last time that we need to pay attention, we need to set ourselves, and then we need to seek God. Pass our fears on to him. Pay attention, then set ourselves, and then seek God. And the thing we want to deal with today is, when you get ready to seek God, how do you do it? Have any of you here today ever wondered if you were praying right? Ever wondered how you could pray better so that God would hear and answer your prayer? We want to talk about that today. How do you seek the face of God? You're facing that terrifying situation in life. Something has come and it's come up against you and they're telling you that things are going to go against you, and yet God says, I want to fight the battle for you, but you need to pray. You need to seek his face. How do you do it? Number one, we saw last time that when they came against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, the first thing Jehoshaphat did was he called the people to prayer and fasting. Now, the thing I want you to see from that is it was serious prayer. It was serious prayer. When you're facing a threatening circumstance in your life, you need some serious prayer. Let me just find out here. How many of us pray every day? All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, let me just see. For how many of us is our daily prayer sometimes not more than 5 minutes? Let me just see. Amen. You're honest today. Amen. Well, what we are talking about today is not one of those 5 minute prayers. When you are dealing with a serious circumstance in your life, guess what? You need some serious prayer. This is not one of those things where you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you eat your breakfast, you put on your clothes, not necessarily in that order, and you get ready to go to work, and then on the way out the door, oh Lord, I haven't had my quiet time left. Let me get my Bible, sit down, I read a verse, Jesus wept, Lord, thank you for the day, and out the door you go. No, if you are facing a situation where you need God to fight the battle for you, you need to spend some serious time seeking Him. Amen. So let me just start off by giving a suggestion. You need to find a time when you can be alone with God for an extended period of time. When you're not worried about looking at the clock, worried about I'm going to have to get up and get to work. Or if you don't have that time, here's a suggestion for you. Set your alarm and then forget about the time. Amen. Set your alarm and then take all the time you have and spend it with God. I discovered something. Praise God. We got these new cell phones. And I discovered, you know, I don't wear a wristwatch. But I found out my cell phone has an alarm on it. Praise God. So I can set the alarm on my cell phone. Whatever it is you need to do so that you're not worried about, I got to get up and, you know, I'm going to have to leave in 5 minutes. Take some time, get before God, and do some serious praying. Now let's find out what's the best way to do that. How should we pray? We want to look at a pattern that's repeated over and over in Scripture when people pray. Let's start off. Go over to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 24, and I'm going to read a little bit here, so go with me. Keep with me. But I want you to see something. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Peter and John had been preaching after the resurrection of Jesus, preaching in Jerusalem, preaching this name of Jesus whom they had crucified. And the authorities said, you don't preach in that name anymore. You got to stop it. And in verse 17, it says they severely threatened them. It was a threatening circumstance. And then after they came away from the authorities, Peter and John went back to the church and reported all that they had told them. And look at what happened in verse 24 of Acts 4. So when they heard that, they, that is the whole church, raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stands and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, here's what I want you to see. When the church got ready to pray over the fact that the authorities were threatening them, where did they start? Did they start, oh God, help us? No, they started with, oh God, how great thou art. Do you see it? The starting point in their prayer and all throughout Scripture, when you look at prayers that people pray, the starting point is always, oh Lord, thou art great. Hallelujah. You see, the focus, the place you start is with God. Oh yes, you do have to pay attention to your circumstance. But you don't start with your circumstance. You start with God. Go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now let's see how they prayed in the context of what we've just read. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Do you see? It's the same pattern, isn't it? Here they are facing terrifying circumstances. The army is on the march, coming to wipe them out. And they are gathering to pray before God, fasting in prayer. And what's the first thing they start talking about? Oh, God, aren't you great? Oh, God, look at who you are. You see, whatever circumstance you are facing, you do not want to allow that circumstance to become the center of your attention. You need to start with God. Does anybody here know that the devil is a terrorist? The devil is a terrorist. He wants to get you into terror. In 2001, there were 41,230 deaths caused by traffic accidents. That works out to an average of 3,436 a month. How many of you have heard about that? On one day in September of 2001, there was a terrorist attack in this country. And because of that terrorist attack, 3,030 people died. How many of you heard about that? September 11th, 2001. Amen? Now think about this for a moment. Every month on average in the year 2001, more than 3,400 people died from traffic accidents. Only on one day, September 11th, less than that number, only 3,030 were killed in a terrorist attack. But which one did you hear about? The terrorist attack. Why? Because the purpose of terror is to draw your attention, to cause you to focus on that terror, to put everything else out of your mind and get afraid and terrified that something's going to happen to you because of the terrorist. And that is what the devil is trying to do in your life every day. He is trying to draw your attention to the circumstances of your life, get you into a state of panic and terror, because what is a terrorist's purpose? The purpose of the terrorist is to make you change your behavior. Isn't that right? The terrorist says, I want you to do what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, I'm going to make you pay. Guess what? That's what the devil is saying to you today. If you don't change your behavior to conform it to what the devil wants, he's going to try to keep you in a state of terror. Understand it. The reason why prayer starts with God is you need to know you got a big God. Amen? You need to know you got a big God. Anybody know what a teeter-totter is? How about a seesaw? Amen? Yeah, I remember teeter-totter. I had to ask Priscilla about a seesaw. All right? Now, when you get on a seesaw, how does it work? You get one kid on one side and another kid on the other side, right? And so when the kid on one side goes up, what happens? The kid on the other side has to go down. And when the kid on this side comes up, what happens? Kid on the other side has to go down. In other words, when one side is up, the other side has to be down. Isn't that right? Now, understand, that's the way it is between God and your problem. All right? Catch it. If you got a big God, you have to have a little problem. Amen? But if you got a big problem, what does that say? You must have a little God. Amen. You see, if you know that you got a big God, guess what? Your problem can't be that big. Amen. See, that's why you got to start with who God is. Kaylee, come up here for a moment, would you please? Let's see. We're going to illustrate this a little bit here. This is Kaylee. Say hi.
Hi.
Now, Kaylee is us. Aren't we beautiful? Amen. Kaylee is us, all right? Now, Devin, come on up here, would you please? All right. Now, Kaylee represents us. Now, Devin, I hate to tell you this. Devin, my man, come on up. Thank you. Devin is the problem. All right? Devin is the problem. All right? Now look at Kaylee and look at Devin. If they have a fight, who do you think might win? Proud Papa said, Kaylee, we're going to get you in a moment here. Catch it. Look, Kaylee represents us, right? And when we have a problem in our life, when we have a terrifying circumstance in our life, how does it look? It looks bigger than us, doesn't it? It looks like if I have to fight that thing, what's going to happen to me? And as long as I am looking at the problem, I will start feeling smaller and smaller. Can I get as small as you, Kaylee? Smaller and smaller. Isn't that right? Come on up here, Tony. Come on, man. Now, let's look at this. Kaylee represents us. Devin is the problem. Tony gets to represent God. Tony, what's your relationship to Kaylee?
I'm her father.
He's her father. So now, if Devin starts to beat up on Kaylee with Tony standing here, anybody have any idea what might happen? Because her father is here. And when her father begins to deal with the problem, what's going to happen? Problem solved. Amen? Because what? Look, as long as I am looking only at the problem, I feel like I can't handle the problem. Now catch it. The problem is still standing here. Isn't that right? But what do I just need to do? Stop looking at the problem and what? Start looking at Dad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you all. Thank you. Amen. All right. Catch it. What the devil is trying to do is keep us looking at the problem. And all the while, Father, Daddy is standing there big and buff. Hallelujah. Ready to deal with the situation. Ready to fight the battle. And if we'll only take our eyes off the problem and get it on Daddy, problem solved. Amen? Problem solved. And so that's why in the very beginning, first things first, prayer starts with who God is. Look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 6, look at this. As they were praying, they said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? When they looked at God, who did they see? They saw the God of power and might. Go over to Exodus chapter 6. Look at verse 3. This is the God who is Daddy to us. This is the God who is our Father, who is standing there right by our side, whatever the problem is that we have to deal with. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Look at this. This is God speaking. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. Now catch it. Catch what he's saying here. God is saying that when he first appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to all the patriarchs, they only knew him as God, what? Almighty. Before they knew his name, they knew he was the mighty God. Anybody ever heard of El Shaddai? Amen. That's what the Hebrew is right here. When it says the Almighty God, he is El Shaddai, the mighty one. That's who God is. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 32, 17. Our God, the one who stands beside us, the one who is our daddy, ready to deal with our problem, is El Shaddai, the mighty one. And what does that tell us about him? Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is how much? Nothing that is too hard for you. Do you know that whatever situation you are facing, there is nothing too hard for God? Do you know, no matter how terrifying the circumstance may seem to you, there is nothing too hard for God? Do you know, however deep the pit that you may have dug for yourself by the stupid decisions that you have made in life, guess what? There is nothing too hard for God. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. There is no problem that can stand in his face that he is not able to take care of in our behalf if we will just position ourselves to receive the blessing from God. Amen? God says, I'll fight your battles. And the place where it starts is us looking upon this God, who he is, recognizing him as El Shaddai. Look again at verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 20. They had this great multitude of enemies coming against them. And so look at how they prayed once again. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. And they said, O Lord, God of our fathers, you are not God in heaven. You do not rule, or do you not rule over all the nations or the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Now catch what's going on here. They had a huge army from all the nations coming against them to wipe them off the face of the earth. And so when they started considering God, considering him as El Shaddai, the Almighty, they took it a step further. They began to look at God not only for who he is, but for who he is in their circumstance. Did you see it? We got this whole bunch of nations coming against us. So what did they see in God? You are the God who has the nations in your hand. Amen. You are the God who can deal with any set of people who think they have some power and some might. That's who they saw their God as. That's who they recognized him as. In other words, they identified who God is relative to their situation.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.